Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be today. On behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us again on another edition of the Stand in the Gap radio program. Some of you are listening in the morning, some in the afternoon, and some in the evening, depending upon what time the radio station airs it in your neck of the woods. But we are here right now, and we are delighted to have you there right now. And we thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. When we go into the second segment today, we are going to be having with us once again our dear friend Jimmy DeYoung. We're going to be talking about Russia and Netanyahu and maybe even the Pope and a number of other things. So you will not want to go too far from the radio or the computer, however you may be listening today, because we have a jam-packed program for you. And we want to jump right into it. Of course, I think probably the biggest news going on here in the United States of America, at least I almost said going on in the world, but at least going on in the United States of America, is the Pope Francis arriving in Washington, D.C. yesterday afternoon, and he's going to be there today and tomorrow, and then on up to New York and then to Philadelphia. And Dave Kistler, I know you've been keeping up to date on what's taking place in Washington, D.C. My question to you is, how very impressed are you with the Pope's appearance today?
Well, Gary, let me say this. It was quite a ceremonial entrance that he made to the Rose Garden there at the White House. There is a phenomenal protocol that the United States has for events like this, and that in and of itself was quite impressive. Some of the military music that was done and some of the groups that sang the Old Guard Fife and Drum Corps, of which one of my dear friends has been a part for 33 years, that was quite impressive to watch. But, Gary, I'm just going to say this, and I know we'll get into maybe some of this a little bit later with Dr. DeYoung. But as our president stood there on the platform there in the Rose Garden, and as the Pope stood there, just both of them literally just basking in almost the worship that was being bestowed upon both of them, I could not help but think that there is going to come a day when two individuals the Bible identifies as the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to stand in similar fashion, and they're going to be lauded by the masses of the world, and they will, in sinister narcissism, soak up the admiration of the world. So it was quite a telling moment, to say the least.
Well, it was, no doubt, and of course we appreciate you keeping up on it for us. And Sam, you know, I'm just going to come right out and ask you a question that I'm sure that many of our listeners are wondering today. Could this be the fulfillment of any prophecy that we are seeing taking place today? Now, again, maybe Jimmy DeYoung will get involved with that a little bit later, but I want to ask you, what do we see here prophetically? Anything?
Gary, I think that we are, you know, at least it is a prototype of what may come forward, because I think what we're really witnessing here between what the president is doing and the Pope is doing, the Pope really coming and being viewed as the moral leader of the world, and that's in that context, the world, he comes. The president, at least at this point, for many respects, is perhaps the political leader of the world at this point. But both of them are aligning their respective missions. And that's what the White House attempted to do before the Pope came this morning. The White House let out information, and they tried to draw a very clear connection that the Pope and the president are just alike. Alike in purpose, alike in upbringing, alike in care for the poor, alike in commitment to social justice, alike in recognition that global warming and environment is our number one issue of the world. I mean, these are political issues to which they have aligned themselves, attempting to, prior to this point, during this day, and I think in the immediate days ahead. So there is a coming together of the moral leadership, which I think we're witnessing today, the Pope trying to step in, or the president wanting the Pope to step in and put a moral blessing on a political agenda. But both of them are standing together, and both of them are talking about New World Order. They're talking about world government. These are things that we need to watch. And, Gary, that is in every bit prophetical. So it is something of great significance that we can't deny.
I was told that people close to the Pope today are not to fake a sneeze so that they might get a backyard God bless you from the Pope.
Well, I hadn't heard that, Gary, but I know we heard yesterday, and they have talked about when he speaks to Congress tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There is a protocol of great substance. They are to make sure that no one reaches up and touches. They didn't use these words, the hem of his garment, but they have said, don't touch his garments, which has an interesting attachment to it as well. So, Gary, this is a big deal.
It's sad. I mean, it's the worship of man. It's the worship of a religious leader. And I'll tell you what, my heart aches with what's going on. You know, we're rapidly running out of time in this particular segment. But, Sam, down in New Jersey, not too far away from where you are, there are some angry Muslims in a New Jersey school district demanding a holiday tomorrow for the Islamic Holy Day. And so once again, we see the riling up of what I call a false religion that is infiltrating itself in the United States of America.
Well, Garrett, you are correct. And, I mean, they were right there. Then they were demanding. One woman stood up and said, gentlemen, or the school board, you can see by tonight, we have gained the majority. And we will be the majority. And you will listen to us. Well, a Jewish person followed and said, wait a minute, we haven't had holidays for Jewish holidays. And we haven't demanded that. What is this that's being demanded here? We've talked about this a lot, Gary. There are efforts out there by religions of the world who are anti-God, who are trying their dead level best, either to deceive us on one hand, maybe in Washington we're seeing it, or by Islamic activity, but it's right here among us. And boy, the time for the preaching of God's word and the truth of God's word has never been more important than now.
Well, that's true. And, of course, we do have a clip. We just don't have the time, I don't think, to play it right now because we're coming up against a hard break. But the question that I have for you, David Kistler, is do we here in the United States of America, when I say we, I'm talking about, for instance, the public school system, does the public school system have any kind of a responsibility to offer these various holidays for Islam and Judaism and so forth and so on?
Well, Gary, I would say this. Holidays that are Judeo-Christian in orientation, yes. But holidays that are Muslim in orientation, I would say a definitive no. And it goes back to what Dr. Ben Carson has been trying to point out and been doubling down on the last several days, and that is this. America was founded upon a Judeo-Christian premise, a Judeo-Christian ethic, a Judeo-Christian belief system. And it has been on our calendars literally for almost the duration of our history. That there are certain holidays that are commemorated that are Judeo-Christian in nature. To try to create equivalence with Muslim sacred days and bring them in and place them on the calendar, make them a part of a school holiday setup or a national holiday setup, I think, Gary, is absolutely unequivocally wrong and a direction we dare not go.
Well, I agree. And the sad part of it is we know that there are many places across the United States of America where even the Judeo-Christian holidays are trying to be taken away from the school calendars. And, you know, that's another story to take into consideration. But it just shows us that we're getting far away from our Jewish and our Christian background. Well, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, but we will be back with more right after this. So don't you go away. This is Stand in the Gap Today.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Imagine writing a book which would sell a million copies a year for over 100 years. Well, one man did. His name was William Holmes McGuffey, born this day, September 23rd, 1800. Considered the schoolmaster of the nation, McGuffey's readers were the mainstay of America's public school system from 1836 till the 1920s. McGuffey was the president of Ohio University and formed the first teachers' association in that part of the nation. In his fifth eclectic reader, William McGuffey wrote, "Erase all thought and fear of God from a community, and selfishness and sensuality would absorb the whole man."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we do want to encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and there, of course, you can learn more about this program as well as the other two programs that the American Pastors Network produces. You can learn about your hosts, and also you can correspond with us, and that is very important. We would encourage that. And so I would encourage you to go to standinthegapradio.com and look at that particular website, correspond with us. We would truly love to hear from you. Well, once again today, we are delighted to have with us Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is the host of Prophecy Today, and he's becoming a great friend of the program, and we're going to be having him from time to time. And Jimmy, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. I've got to say that I had a dream about you last night, Dr. DeYoung.
Uh-oh. What was that about? That was a nightmare for sure.
Well, you know, I know you don't remember this, but many years ago, back in the 1970s, I think you were associated with Word of Life, and we were up at Scroon Lake, New York, and you fed me out of a great big pot of French onion soup, a bowl of French onion soup, and I dreamed about that last night. I hadn't thought about that for all those years. But I'll tell you what, that soup was just as good last night in my dream as what it was back in the 70s.
I can't believe that, Gary. Well, I'm honored that I was able to serve you that way and that you still remember it. I love French onion soup, by the way, too.
I do, too. And like I said, I forgot about it, but the dream brought it back to my attention. But anyway, we are delighted to have you with us today, and we want to we know that you have a lot that you would like to say with regard to the Pope, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But we want to talk a little bit about Russia moving some military equipment into Syria and Iran. And Sam, why don't you begin our questioning with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung along that line, please?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. Dr. DeYoung, we're glad that you have some input, and you know what's happening in the Middle East. But right now, the Pope's adventures here are overshadowing a lot of what's happening in the Middle East. But I want to bear down on one thing. Russia is clearly moving a lot of equipment into Syria. They're now reporting a couple thousand soldiers. They've got two military bases that are being established. There appears to be a lot of action there. Russia, I think, has said that they're there to help fight ISIS, which puts the United States in a conflicting position, because we say we're fighting them but haven't been very successful. I guess my question there is that, do you think Putin's actually calling the Obama bluff relative to ISIS and what's happening? And are we going to see some entanglement here between the military forces of the United States and Russia? And then just kind of expand as you want there.
Well, Sam, what I am seeing happening is exactly what happened in Egypt. When they took out the position of President Mohamed Morsi, who was the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, and he had been elected, a very watched election take place as president of Egypt, and they took him out. I'm talking about the military, and a military coup took him out, and America then stepped aside. In essence, they were honoring and saying that the military in Egypt should not have bothered this Muslim Brotherhood leader as president of Egypt, and a vacuum was formed, and immediately Russia rushed into that vacuum to do what they could as far as Egypt's concerned. Now, I pass that same type of an agenda over to Syria, because the United States a couple of years ago pulled away, left a vacuum that needed to be filled by some superpower, some military giant as such, and that's exactly what Vladimir Putin has done. This man is probably one of the smartest men that I know in world strategy. He is playing everybody in this world like he would play a fiddle. He is unbelievable in what he's doing. You're right. They have troops on the ground in Russia. They have two military bases. They have a naval base right there on the Mediterranean. That is a major part of their naval operation around the world, in fact. They are joining forces with the Iranians. The Iranian military has come in. I'm talking about the Revolutionary Guard, who are their elite fighting operation. They're coming in. And to give you indication that Russia and Iran are going to be able to handle the situation by themselves, Hezbollah has pulled back. No longer are they at the front lines in the fighting force to prop up Bashar Assad. So all that is going on with Russia and Iran, we got to keep those two in lockstep. They are both very, very involved in trying to prop up the president of Syria, Bashar Assad, four-year civil war that's been going on, 250,000 people killed, and they're still propping him up, and they're doing everything they possibly can to make sure they hold that stronghold as a position for their agenda in the future in the Middle East.
Dr. DeYoung, this is Dave. With this Russian buildup in Syria and Iran and NATO coming into the Middle East for war games, do you believe we are actually witnessing the Ezekiel 38 prophetical surrounding of Israel occurring right now?
I don't believe that that prophecy is being fulfilled right now, Dave, but I do believe the precursors for all of that prophecy to be fulfilled. The actors are being put on the stage. The curtain is about to go up. That prophecy will be fulfilled. And it seems to me, as we watch everything that's happening and what we're talking about on this broadcast, is that that prophecy is not very far into the future before it will be fulfilled. All of these positions that these nations are taking, especially Russia and Iran, Syria and what they're doing, and in fact we need to bring Israel into that mix as well in the meeting that Prime Minister Netanyahu had with President Putin. But all of the players are on the stage in the positions where they're supposed to be. The curtain is starting to rise, and that fulfillment of prophecy I don't think is very far away.
You know, we do want to get to the Netanyahu visit with Putin in just a moment, Jimmy, since you brought it up. But it's interesting to note that, you know, with this Russia situation where Russia is moving massive amounts of military personnel and equipment, you know, onto some of these borders, and I think it was just about 2,000 soldiers were put up yesterday. Overnight, I heard Carly Fiorina say that she hates Putin, that if she's elected as president of the United States, she wouldn't even talk to him, but that she would send 2,000 troops to the border of, I can't remember if it was Syria and Russia or what it was, but anyway, she said she would send 2,000 troops to one of the Russian borders to fight Russia. Do you see here the beginning of maybe another Third World War?
Well, the possibility of a Third World War looms in the future because of the prophetic scenario found in God's Word. And when Dave asked me the question about could this be the gathering for the Ezekiel 38 prophecy, that's what we're talking about, in my opinion, as it relates to the Third World War. Now, sending 2,000 troops to the Russian border or whatever border it was, that's ridiculous. That's what our President Obama has been doing, putting Band-Aids on situations that need to have surgery instead of a Band-Aid to be taken care of. So I'm not sure that's a wise decision. I am happy that she's at least looking at it and knowing that this is something she's going to have to deal with. And I don't think that anybody should say, well, I hate Vladimir Putin, so I'm not going to meet with him. I think that's a pretty dangerous situation as well. But, indeed, I have to go back to stages being set for all these things to be fulfilled. We have to pay attention to what's happening. These are headlines in the world news media that just are not going to go away. We've got to explain it to the people, help them to understand and realize where we are.
Jimmy, I got to jump in here with another question follow-up. You mentioned when in the Egypt circumstance that the United States went in, dislocated a government. Somebody stepped in, and we left a void, and Russia stepped in. And that's actually happening probably in Syria again. I'm going to ask you a very pointed question. Do you believe, in fact, that perhaps more than just a prophetical thing, do you think that there could be some behind-the-scenes working together between our administration and Russia in this transference of power? Because certainly Russia is rising in prominence in the Middle East, and we are shrinking.
I do not think that I don't believe the man in the White House is smart enough to do what needs to be done, but I don't think he's so stupid that he would do something like that and give up our freedoms, our prestige in the world, our position of power in the world, just to appease Vladimir Putin. I think that he's sitting he's back on his heels. I'm talking about President Obama. He's not up toeing the line and playing the game he needs to be playing with these world leaders like Vladimir Putin and what he is doing there in Syria. It's very dangerous, very serious.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and he always has some great insights about what's going on in the world prophetically. When we come back, we'll ask him to comment about Netanyahu's visit with Putin and what he can expect from that, what is logically going to be derived from that, so you won't want to go away. This is Stand in the Gap today, and we will be back right after these messages, so please stay tuned. We come to you from the American Pastors Network.
The first U-Turn conference sponsored by the American Pastors Network was a life-changing experience for pastors and Christian leaders throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. Now we have the opportunity to take this conference across America. A matching gift offer for $30,000 will be doubled to $60,000 in order to bring U-Turn events to many more states in 2016. All gifts made through September 30 will be doubled. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and go to the Donate button to make your immediate gift to equip pastors and all believers to stand in the gap for truth.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Pope Francis is holding a prayer service at St. Matthew's Cathedral in Washington and meeting with American bishops. He was at the White House this morning with President Obama. They both mentioned climate change.
A problem we can no longer be left to a future generation.
Holy Father, you remind us that we have a sacred obligation to protect our planet, God's magnificent gift to us.
The Pope rides in a parade this afternoon, celebrates Mass, and addresses Congress tomorrow, and then heads to New York and Philadelphia. A hate crime investigation is over at the University of Delaware. Someone reported three nooses hanging from a tree. The school's president now says they were just pieces of paper lanterns left over from an event on campus. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia, and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And Dr. DeYoung, we would like to get into some discussion on the Pope coming to the United States of America and so forth. But if you would please, just follow up with what I suggested before we went into the break. And that is the idea that Bibi Netanyahu has just recently visited Putin about and talked with him about keeping military equipment out of the hands of Hezbollah. And, you know, we've heard very little about what has really taken place as a result of that particular meeting. And the question that I have for you here today is, what logically do you think would Netanyahu seek to get from Putin as the result of this particular visit? Do you think it's going to be a positive outcome at all?
Well, I think it is going to be positive in light of the fact that, indeed, they have set up a line of communications. That is very, very important. What the Prime Minister of Israel is most concerned about is the fact that there are people like Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Islamic Jihad, and even Bashar Assad's own military there at their northern border in the Golan Heights. And they've been having some artillery exchanges across that border. Israel has a couple of times sent in some of their F-16s to take out some of these sites that were firing into northern Israel. So this was a concern with the Russian military putting their planes in the skies over Syria, that the Israelis may not be able to send some of their jet aircraft in to deal with issues that are of much concern to the safety of the state of Israel. And so they had a sit-down there in Moscow to come to some conclusions. The best thing that I'm hearing from my sources in Israel is that, indeed, the president of Russia and the prime minister of Israel said, we will have a conversation, an open line. If we're going to be doing something, if you're going to be doing something, we'll talk about it. We'll see that, indeed, we do not want to keep you from being able to protect the nation of Israel. And at this point in time, we're going to keep that open. Also, I think the result that Hezbollah is pulling out of the activities. They've been much on the front lines in the civil war, helping defend Bashar Assad's regime there in Syria. And they're backing off just a little bit. Well, with the Russian military in there, they can go back and continue to antagonize Israel at the northwestern border there at the Lebanese-Israeli border. So I think that is key to the understanding of the meeting they had there in Russia. I am very, very pleased with the fact that the prime minister immediately moved to go and have a conversation with Putin in Russia itself, not waiting for his underlings to deal with that situation. So I'm glad to see that that did happen.
Yeah, Dr. Jiang, I am too, and I think that was a good move on their part and very important. Talking about Israel and Netanyahu, today is a very, very big day in the Jewish calendar. That's Yom Kippur. And I think it's maybe significant. I want to ask you about this. The Pope's appearance here in Washington today starts on this most holy day. Is that coincidental? And do you see any connection? What's that really saying? Because obviously the Pope knew this, and he could have come a day before or he could have come a day after, but he came right on this holy day.
I think it's very significant, Sam. I believe he did it absolutely on purpose. You must remember, replacement theology is key in understanding this. If you, as a Christian, say that God has finished with the Jewish people, no more program for them, and God has given all the promises in the Old Testament to the church, you are a replacement theologian. That is very dangerous. You cannot do that, because that's not a proper interpretation of the Word of God. God has a plan for the Jewish people. He's not finished with them. And that is evidenced by the fact that Yom Kippur is today being honored by the Jewish people, not only in Israel, but around the world. You see, this is Leviticus chapter 23. God gave seven feasts to the Jewish people, and they have an historic background and a prophetic background. And Jesus Christ, when you study the Word of God, will actually walk into the temple he builds on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem on a future Yom Kippur. That's according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 26 to 28. Once in the end of time, it says that the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, that's Jesus Christ, walks into that temple on Yom Kippur. It is, as you mentioned, the most serious holy day. It's the most solemn. For 25 hours, the Jewish people are involved in a fast. Look, I've been in Jerusalem many, many times when Yom Kippur would take place. The whole nation, I'm talking about 8 million people, they shut down. The streets are closed. Nobody moving. The little children take their bicycles and drive in the most busy thoroughfares when the rest of the world is operating as normal. Yom Kippur is a statement from God to the Jewish people and, in essence, to the Jewish world. And for the Pope, who is as knowledgeable as any man in religion that I've ever seen, he would know exactly what this day means to the Jewish people, and to show up, it's in your face, Jews. We have really no concern. And in addition to that, I'm sitting here looking at the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, headlines on the Internet. They are the largest news-gathering organization in the world. The number one headline, Pope in the White House, Climate Change Plea. Wow. What kind of priority does a religious leader, the most powerful religious leader in the world, have other than going to the White House and asking for them to work on climate change? Look, the other side of that coin would be a man like Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, the great evangelist. Every single time he's on any, he gave the prayer at the inaugural for the president, and he gave the gospel.
He always gives.
First thing the Pope should have done was say, you people need to repent, get right with God. This is, everything will be cleared up when you do that. I guess I'm on a soapbox right now.
But it's true, you know. It's true, and I think that they need that in the White House, Jimmy.
Absolutely, for sure. I hope in their private meetings the Pope is giving him the gospel.
I doubt it, but I hope so too.
Dr. Dion, one of the things we love about you and appreciate about you is that you just speak right to the heart of the issue, and I appreciate so much what you had to say about replacement theology and how dangerous that is, because God is not through with his people. Sam Geary and I firmly stand right where you stand with that, and I appreciate so much you saying that. I want to ask you a question. Following the Pope's address on the White House lawn, he goes into a meeting with the president. Prior to doing that, he did exactly what you just referenced, what the BBC is referencing. He made a big deal about climate change. In fact, following his statements on Fox News, Robert Kennedy Jr. was slated to make comments about the Pope's statements, and he said this. He said, the Pope is addressing, and you are hearing me correctly, the sin of climate change, the sin of global warming. He kept calling it a sin. My question to you is this. What on earth could be the motivation behind both the president and the Pope, with all these other issues that you so eloquently stated just moments ago that need to be addressed? Why in heaven's name would they be addressing the quote-unquote sin of global warming or climate change? What is the purpose behind that in your estimation?
Well, let me give you just this thought. In my quiet time this morning, I read the book of Nehemiah chapter 8, and it says that Ezra read the Word of God, explained the Word of God, and then obeyed the Word of God. Now, the bottom line problem is they have not read the Word of God. They're not understanding the Word of God, and they're certainly not obeying the Word of God. If they would have read simply the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, where it says, all things were created by Jesus Christ. Now, that's an absolute creation. I did like the fact the Pope honored creation, and somewhat the president did as well. But they need to read the next verse. Colossians 1:17 says, by him all things are held together. There's no such thing as climate change or problems unless Jesus is not holding everything in creation that he made together.
Great point.
You know, their priorities are totally off the wall.
Well, their priorities are off the wall. There's no doubt about that, because their theology is messed up, Jimmy.
Of course, exactly right. I mean, again, Nehemiah tells us, Ezra read the word, they then explained the sense of the word, and then they obeyed it. We're not doing that. They're not doing it. And I've got to tell you, earlier David was talking about the two men standing together. I was watching on Fox News those two speeches and the presentation there in the Rose Garden at the White House. And though I do not believe, I'm not saying I do not believe, I can't believe you can exegete chapter 17 of the book of Revelation and come out that the Pope is either the false prophet or the Antichrist, nor do I believe President Obama is either one of those personalities. But boy, they were sure the prototype of what we're going to see in the future. A world political leader, a world religious leader, didn't say spiritual, I said religious leader, is going to take over this world, and man, we are seeing that unfold before our very eyes.
Well, we're down to 20 seconds before a hard break, but what do you think we can expect from the Pope's visit to the United Nations, Jimmy, in 15 seconds?
He's going to call for a world government, which Rome is going to be a part of that in the first half of the tribulation period. Again, just another step forward in fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Well, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, we thank you very, very much for being with us today. We always appreciate your insight and your wisdom. God continue to bless you on your own ministry, your own radio program, the host of, as you host Prophecy Today. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with more right after this break, so we encourage you to stay as close to your radio or the internet, your computer, as you can, because we'll wrap today's program up and give you some thoughts that weigh heavily on our mind. You won't want to miss those heavy thoughts on our minds. We'll return right after this. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The release of a series of videos exposing terrible atrocities committed by Planned Parenthood in the name of reproductive health or the right to choose has awakened many to the truth of abortion and is stirring calls to restore protection for all innocent human life from conception until natural death. It's being described as a Wilberforce moment, so named for William Wilberforce, the British Member of Parliament, whose Christian faith led him to take a stand against the slave trade. On October 30th, we're hosting Eric Metaxas as the keynote speaker for our Friends of the Family Banquet. Eric Metaxas is the best-selling biographer of Wilberforce and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, two men who demonstrated the duty of Christians to stand up against the evil in their day. For more information about our Friends of the Family Banquet, go to pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Jesus taught his disciples in Luke 21 that when the end draws near, certain unmistakable things would happen. Wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nation, government persecution of God's people, earthquakes, famines, signs in the skies. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. God's clock of time is quickly advancing, and what he warned his disciples about then is upon us today. Jesus knew these things would be alarming, so he said, "Don't be terrified. Don't worry about being dragged into court. Don't worry about what you'll say. Don't worry that you might lose your life. He promised, I'll protect your eternal soul. No hair on your head will perish. I'll give you the words to say." Then Christ said, "When other men's hearts fail them for fear, look up because the Son of Man will come in great power and glory." I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, Christian, kneel down in obedience, stand up into the gap for truth, and look up for his coming is soon.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website. It specifically talks about this program and the other two programs that we produce here at the American Pastors Network. And that, of course, is www.standinthegapradio.com. And we would encourage you to go there for one specific purpose, and that is to correspond with us. You can do so at that particular website. And if you happen to be away from your radio at some particular time, you can also listen live to the program there. And also, I might just say that if you go to the WFYL websites, of course, WFYL is our anchor station in the Philadelphia area. You can get the podcast of this program as well. So we have a number of ways in which you can listen to this program, and we would encourage you to do that. Well, Dave and Sam, you know, it's always a blessing to have Jimmy DeYoung with us, and he's been standing by the stuff down through the years. You know, the other day, I was talking to a Christian individual who basically said, you know, in light of everything that's taking place in the world around us today, I'm fearful. This is a very, very scary time in which to live. And, you know, Sam, my response to this individual was, well, there are some scary things going on in the world around us today. There's no doubt about that. I think personally, the Pope coming to the United States and all of the ramifications of that and some of the other things we've talked about today certainly are scary things to consider. But along with being a frightening time in which to live, this is also an exciting time in which to live, Sam. I mean, there has never been a time in our history where things have been coming together quite like they are now from the prophetic perspective, which makes it exciting. Do you agree with me on that?
Gary, absolutely. And I know as all of us deal with people across the country, and you're talking about that recent discussion, folks all across the country are all sensing that something is up. I mean, I think that's you know, that happens because if people look at the news is trying to whip people up, so there's a part of that. But from a spiritual perspective, we look, and as we've talked about today, we see things that are undeniable, that are part of God's plan, that are working. We as believers are, though, not to fear as those who have no hope. We have, I mean, there should be great excitement. Personally, Gary and Dave, I am excited. I am not fearful, and you know, we're not to be given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We know what God's word says. To think that really, in the big picture, that we all who are listening to this program today are here because God so determined it, and that we happen to be a part of a momentous transition time in history. And it's all about God's redemptive plan. It's all about the fulfillment of God's word from the beginning of time. There's nothing about what I just said that's fearful. There's everything exciting about watching God's plan being fulfilled. So, Gary, I would encourage those who are listening, take what you hear, factor it into what God's word says, and then out of it come clarity, but with that clarity becomes motivation to stand for truth ever more fervently, not to run and hide.
Gary, you know, David, 21. I can remember whenever I was a child growing up that my granddad, who was a pastor for over 60 years, talked a lot about prophecy, and I can remember he talking with my parents about prophecy, and Ezekiel 37, 38, 39, Gog and Magog and all of these things. And to me then, you know, it seemed like so far in advance. And as Sam said, you know, we are living in a day and age where we're seeing so many exciting things come together. And I know you had something there you wanted to say. Sorry to tramp on your toes. But my question is, can you lay out for us, if in just a few minutes, what we can expect prophetically? We here at the American Pastors Network believe that the next thing to happen is the rapture of the church. But lay out for our people what we can expect prophetically from the literal interpretation of Scripture.
Well, Gary, the Scripture says in Luke 21:28, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that goes to the heart of what Sam was trying to say. These are not days for us to run away. It's not days for us to cower in fear. These are days for us to have keen anticipation that our Lord's return could be very, very soon. In fact, I believe we could well be on the very threshold of his return. By the way, that is what I preached on Sunday evening, and our church auditorium was almost totally packed with people. We had a Sunday morning crowd on Sunday night, which reveals there's an interest in these kind of things. And the response is to be what Sam said, not fear, but eager anticipation on the part of the Christian. For those that don't know Christ, as there were some in the service on Sunday evening that did come to know Christ as Savior, some visitors, the response from them needs to be, I need to prepare because Jesus' return is soon. But yes, Gary, the next event on God's prophetic timetable is that event called the rapture. The word rapture, the English form of it, is not used anywhere in the Bible as far as the word rapture, but it comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the scripture talks about the Lord descending from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, dead in Christ, rising first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Harpazo is the Greek word. We're snatched out of this earth. That's the concept of a rapture. So the concept of this thing of rapture is definitely taught. Following that, there's a seven-year period of time that takes place on the earth. During the early part of that seven-year tribulation, a personality that we kind of addressed a little bit today called the Antichrist steps out onto the world stage. He appears as a great peacemaker. He has in tow with him an individual the Bible identifies as a false prophet. And those two work great deceptions on the face of the earth. At the end of that seven-year tribulation, Jesus, who came in the clouds in the rapture, comes back 7 years later all the way, as Dr. DeYoung referenced, plants his feet on the Mount of Olives, walks through that eastern gate up onto the Temple Mount, cleanses the Temple Mount, begins following that a millennial reign. The word millennium means 1,000. Jesus literally rules and reigns from the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and we who know him as Savior rule and reign with him. So what about that, gentlemen, is not exciting? What about that is to run from or to be afraid of? Not a single thing.
It's very exciting. And, you know, we talk about the Antichrist, and Sam, it's probable, very probable, that the Antichrist is alive and in the world today. The thing of it is, we really won't know who he is because until he's revealed. And, of course, we will be in heaven as Christians at that particular time. Is that correct? We won't know who he is specifically.
No, I think as we're sitting here right now, no, we don't know. And whether that individual is a personality that's already in the press somewhere that just takes a larger vaunt forward, or whether it's something that's very obscure right now that emerges. I'm not totally sure which one it is, but when it happens, it'll be clear.
They'll know it. The people who miss the rapture will know it. You know, folks, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Learn a little bit more about this concept that we're talking about here today. Well, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us today. The Lord willing, in about 23 hours, the program will be back on the air. I'll not be with you folks tomorrow because I will be leading in prayer at the Pennsylvania State General Assembly. So I think it's Dave and Sam and David New. So you folks have a great day. Lord willing, program's back on the air again tomorrow at the same time. Keep looking up. The best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.